My name is Garland Robinson.
We were looking before in a lesson about what some people refer to themselves as change agents. That is, they believe they've come up with a new hermeneutic, which is the science or study of how we learn from the Bible. What does the Bible tell us, and how do we approach the Bible that way? Well, we just kind of gave our own definition of it is, and that is, they're trying to tell us that the Bible really doesn't mean what it says. That's the bottom line. They say you can read the Bible, but it really don't mean what it says. You've got to have us to tell you what it means. Well, friend, God is all wise. God gave us exactly what He wants, and that anyone can understand it. The common man can understand the will of God. We don't need someone else to tell us what the Bible says. We do need some common sense, and we do need some good standard or principles by which we approach the Bible and be able to understand what's there. But we can understand the Bible, and it was written to be understood. Another theory, another idea these so-called change agents are trying to make and force upon us is that God's limit of fellowship is really non-existent, that we really can't look at His Word and understand whom we are to fellowship, go along with, and whom we are not. Well, that's not so, because the Bible tells us exactly what God wants us to do. There are many people that are trying to say, well, you really can't know. You really can't know. But what does the Bible say? The Bible tells us we can know. In Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 6 and 7, we read, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them." So what's God telling us? There are those that we can fellowship, and there are those we must not be partakers with. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11, just a few verses later, we read, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Now what? Have no fellowship does not mean go ahead and fellowship anyway. Have no fellowship does not mean we can have some fellowship. The Bible is very clear, very distinct. Have no fellowship. But instead, He says to do even something more. But rather, reprove them. The word reprove means to expose, to lay bare, to show something for what it really is. So it's not enough that He says we just don't participate. We just don't go along. But we are to actively oppose it and expose it for what it really is. Another great verse we learn from Romans chapter 16, verse 17. "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them." What does He tell us to do here? He says to mark. That means to look toward, to observe, to make sure we see, and of course the object is that we would not go along with. We know, for example, when we look down and we see a rattlesnake, we observe it. We see it. We keep our eye on it, don't we? Because we don't want to go near it. We want to make sure we go around it. We want to make sure we know where it is and exactly what it is so that we don't go the same place it is. We don't have fellowship with that rattlesnake. And we don't of those who are false teachers, those who are not going to follow the way of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20 and 21, we read, "But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils." Again, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, makes it very clear, very plain. He says God's will is that we would not have fellowship with devils. Well, devils here is indicating the fact of those who don't love the truth, those who won't follow the truth, those who are not going to adhere to the Bible, those going to say, well, it really don't mean what it says, and you can do this or do that. But He says don't have fellowship with them. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 to 18, Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Again, what's the point? What's he telling us here? Do not join ourselves with those who are unbelievers. We cannot have fellowship with those who are not righteous, who are not in fellowship with God. So how do we learn? How do we know whom we can fellowship? That's not by my standard. That's not because of what I think, what I want. That's not because of what somebody else thinks or wants, but really what God says. If I am in fellowship with God, and you are in fellowship with God, then we can fellowship one another. But if either one of us is not in fellowship with God, then certainly we could not fellowship one another and still meet with God's approval. Another passage here in 2 John only has one chapter, so we read in verse 9, 10, and 11. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. That is very clear, very plain. We cannot fellowship those who are not in fellowship with God. And he said, if someone comes to our door and they're not following God, we cannot invite them in order to wish them well, in order to encourage them in the work that they're doing, in order to contribute to their cause, in order to support them. But he says, we can't do that. But only if we are with the truth, and I'm doing the truth, and you're doing the truth, then and only then can we be right with God. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. Again, what's he telling us? We cannot go along with, participate with, fellowship those who are not in fellowship with God. He says when someone walks disorderly, that's simply a Greek word or military term, meaning they're out of step. They're out of harmony with the will of God. So when someone is out of step with God, we cannot encourage them. We cannot hold up their hands. We cannot wish them well, but rather we are to reprove them. In verse 14 of 2 Thessalonians 3, we read, and if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. So how in the world then can men or women today say that, well, we can fellowship one another? We ought not just pick out people that we don't want to fellowship. Well, no, we don't do that of our own initiative, but we do following God's standard. The Bible is clear and decisive concerning the church. Jesus said, I will build my church. In Acts 2 and verse 41, we read that those on the day of Pentecost, they gladly received the word that was preached unto them, were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Acts 2 and verse 41 says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So the Bible is clear. The Lord promised he would build his church. It was preached on the day of Pentecost and established that very day, and those who obeyed the gospel were added to it by the Lord. We read in Ephesians 4 and verse 4, there is one body. Well, back in chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 22 and 23, we find that the body is the church. And then over in Colossians 1 and verse 18, we find the church is the body. If there's only one body, then that means there's only one church. And if we are members of that one church, then we can fellowship one another. But if someone's not a member of that one church, then we cannot fellowship them. And likewise, it may be the case that someone is a member of that one church, but they've become unfaithful. They've strayed away. They've left the church, and they're practicing error. And the Bible says in that case, likewise, we cannot fellowship them. We can only have fellowship with those who are in fellowship with God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." Well, how do we get into the church? It's by being baptized. That's what this verse tells us. "And unto Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end." Ephesians 3 and verse 21. So the Lord's church, it is not out of date. It is not out of step. It is the eternal purpose of God. It is God's plan. It is made up of the saved. And all who will be saved in the church, because that's where the saved are. Ephesians 5 and verse 23, "When the Lord comes again, He will save His body, which is the church." Friend, we need to make sure we know the Bible answers error. The Bible is all inspired. It is sufficient to do what God has given it to do. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Now notice as we examine this passage, all Scripture, not just some of it, not just parts of it or places of it, but all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And it's good. It's profitable for what? For doctrine or teaching. It's profitable to correct someone, to reprove them of their sin, make them feel guilty. And it's good to tell them what to do to have forgiveness of that sin. It will continue to teach them and guide them in the way they should go, so they may be perfect. The word perfect means complete or mature. They might be all that God desires them to be. And the Bible can do that. It furnishes us completely unto every good work. So if we want to know what to do to please God, then follow His Word. Follow the truth. Those people that like to change it, that want to say we can't understand it, or they need to help us understand it, or they need to tell us what to believe about it, then I'm sorry, we'll still continue to believe the Bible. We want to go to heaven. And the only way to do that is to do what God has commanded, not what men have commanded.
This has been Garland Robinson. Join us again.